A very late edition of the Last Call podcast with Chris Michaels, because last night I had a life. I was out making merry, and I was interacting with other human beings, not just ranting behind a microphone, talking to nobody, and arguing with myself. And it was a fun time. I had pancakes for dinner, and it was delicious because I am a breakfast person, and do not judge me for being a breakfast person. So what did we have last night? We had two monumental pieces of asshattery. The first one being Zelensky, Nazi sympathizer, speaking in front of Congress, and everybody's up and down. I mean, these empty suit politicians really got their cardio in with all of the standing ovations and the clapping that was going on minutes long. Oh, goodness gracious. Now, you think with the billions and billions of dollars that the Ukraine is getting, Zelensky could afford a tailor and get a suit. What is wrong with this guy? He just looks like he rolled out of bed and in front of Capitol Hill. And this moron starts evoking past battles that the United States took place in, like the Battle of the Bulge, which occurred, oddly enough, about this week. It really started in December, on December 16th of 1944, and it's a surprise attack that the Germans launched into basically Belgium and France, and tried to do something in Alsace-Lorraine with Operation North Wind later on. And basically what happened was the Germans launched an attack, went nowhere, and eventually got pushed back to their starting positions at the end of January of 1945. Now, there's a lot of things that happened in between December 16th and the end of January, like a bunch of atrocities happened. A bunch of Nazis killed a whole bunch of American prisoners, POWs, not unlike what's going on in the Ukraine today. And Patton was a huge figure during that time. And your very own podcast host's grandfather was in the Battle of the Bulge. He drove an armored car. And he, during that time, he said he ran so fast that his boots became unlaced. So if you can only imagine running that fast and that far and that often, because he was running away. I mean, you can't, driving an armored car is not driving a tank, especially when you're trying to fight German tanks at the time. So he was eventually put on, what did they call it? Body detail. So what happened was is that they would drive a huge truck, the 6x6 truck, and it would slowly go down these roads, and they would have to pick up these bodies and throw it into the truck because they're all frozen and that kind of morose thing. And one time he picked somebody up, and the scalp basically just fell off, and a whole bunch of slop came pouring out. And ever since that day, he always told his sons that if the war is nonsense, and nobody should ever be fighting a war. And that's eventually how he eventually ended up in Czechoslovakia with the group that he was in, and went fishing at the end of the war by dynamiting the rivers. So that's that's how he ended up. And then he went back to the United States and everything else. But the point is that when you've got a Nazi sympathizer, you can't evoke the Battle of the Bulge whilst being a Nazi. The Battle of the Bulge was fought against Nazis. Zelensky cannot come in here leading Nazis saying, oh, the Ukraine is the bulwark against Russian aggression. No, no, the country is riddled with Nazis. Let's stop doing it. I even got into an argument. It wasn't really an argument. He's a good friend of mine on the old personal social media. And I showed him a whole bunch of pictures of all of these Nazis throughout the Ukraine. And he's like, oh, that's all photoshopped. I mean, like, how stupid do you have to be? I mean, these people, they don't believe your lying eyes. These people are so brain dead. They just do whatever they're told to do. And they're supposed to be the intellectuals of society because they've got a bachelor's degree, a master's degree. Sometimes they even have a PhD. So you dare not question my intellect or my reasoning. I mean, just look at my logic. Look at all of the birdcage liner I have lined on my walls. I mean, you have to abide by my opinion. These people are stupid. And now, today, if you go on social media, every stupid moron on the Democrat side and the idiotic Republican side, they're all saying, well, when Zelensky was here, we noticed a few of you not standing, not clapping. We want to know all of your names, and we want a reason why you didn't stand and clap when you were told to stand and clap. This is the very epitome of what fascism is. This doesn't, it just doesn't go anywhere. Why are these people allowed to do something like that? If you're not standing for Zelensky, it's probably because you're not a Nazi sympathizer. That's why, if anybody had any doubts. So please, stop with the nonsense. These people have got to be held accountable, and across all social media, you've got to start hounding these morons and being like, why are you supporting Nazis? Still, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And now you've even got the EU and Germany saying, well, the reason why we're in the spot that we're in is because Twitter is just out of control and Twitter needs to be reined in. No, you had somebody like Elon Musk blow everybody's spot and basically allow the world to see that Twitter is nothing more than a government spy agency propaganda machine that allowed governments to do whatever they want and introduce draconian policies based upon Twitter drops. So let's reframe that. You've got the, and we'll use this as an example. The CIA has an agenda. The CIA wants a certain policy enacted or wants the ability to do some kind of idiotic thing. So what do? They coordinate with politicians that they are aligned with. We want policy ABC enacted. Well, I can't do that because if we did, it would probably be the equivalent of a violation of the constitutional right of some sort or possibly war crimes. So what does the CIA do? It contacts their plants within Twitter and their media plants, and they start dropping stories across Twitter. Twitter knows about this. That's how Twitter was making money. Twitter was taking money from the governments and the agencies across the planet to allow them to say and do whatever they want. This is not new. Yahoo was doing it for a long time. Facebook, you can guarantee it does it. Google was created by DARPA and the Pentagon. You can almost guarantee, 99.9% sure, Google does the same thing with your emails, your phones, your pixels, Google Voice. Anything you do across Google is being sent to the government, and they're getting paid for it. So then, once these opinions and talking points are introduced on Twitter by the very agency, right, that wants something done, then the politicians can go back and say, see, we saw this on Twitter, this cutting-edge reporting by some stooge in the Democrat Party pretending to be a journalist. We must do something about it. And so that's how they introduce these extremely damaging policies and laws and legislation. It's a massive, massive corrupt circle jerk. That's all this is. So Elon Musk comes in. Guess what happens? All of that stops, and now Twitter is a danger to society. Hate speech is running rampant across this social media platform that was once the bulwark against fascism. No, it was fascist from the start. It was nothing more than a propaganda machine. And a lot of these stupid liberals and rollover Republicans, and, well, I'm a middle-of-the-road Republican. No, you were fooled because you're too stupid to read between the lines. Now, I will forgive your stupidity. as long as you start seeing things my way and not any other way. Catherine Austin Fitz, she came out. I have to watch this. It's about an hour and a half long. This was from USAWatchdog.com. And she is claiming what we all know. There is no more left or right. And the spending machine finances or is financed by our taxes. And she goes, if you look at FTX, my question is how much of the money was sent to the Ukraine got laundered right back to the 2022 midterm election? My question exactly. My other question was, isn't it odd that SBF flew, got extradited to the United States on the same day that Zelensky was in the United States? Doesn't that make you just wonder what was going on there? So to me, the Ukraine is not a destination point, Catherine Austin Fitz says. It's a throughput point. In other words, a money laundering or laundering country. At this point, and I hate to say it, but we are in full-scale implosion. The corruption is that bad. If you've got a great state with an attorney general, if you've got a great legislature, if you have a great governor, you better start supporting them. And she's correct in all of that. We have to start looking at the state and local level because there is the elastic clause that we are allowed to enforce here at the state and local levels because the federal government is clearly not on its citizenry's side. The federal government and the people in there have got an agenda, and they don't care about what you or I think about it. The federal government corruption was turbocharged in 2019, she said. And while everyone was focusing on the teenage sex life of the Supreme Court nominee Kavanaugh, both sides of the aisle got together and approved Statement 56 of the Federal Accounting Standards Advisory Board, which said they could keep secret books. In other words, all of the budgets around the government is now in the black. It's now a black project. In other words, nobody can know what they are spending the money on or how they're spending the money. It's all a big secret. And she goes, so there is no left versus right. There's no Trump versus Biden. There is a machine in control of a spending machine that is financed with our taxes and debt borrowed in our name that is being sold into our pension funds and retirement accounts. You've got to talk turkey about where your money is going. Who are the local lenders? Who are the state legislators? Who are going to support you when this money machine completely fails? And she also calls out the mainstream media by saying it has done a good job painting a different picture, but at some point, you cannot defy reality. Hello, COVID. And that is coming out. We see life insurance companies trading down 30% and the funeral home business trading up 20%. That is a 50% divergence. And she sums it up by saying something extremely poignant. Get out of fear and stay out of fear. You think a snowflake is weak and fragile until you get enough of them together, and then they can shut down New York City. If we can face it, God can fix it. Don't go to fear. And she's right about all of that. I was almost going to subscribe to the Solari report, but I haven't gotten around doing it yet. But she's 100% right. If they can get you into fear, then they can control you. No matter how extremely damaging their propaganda may seem, it's more than likely the exact opposite of what they are telling you. And you saw example after example of this propaganda and rhetoric all throughout COVID. All throughout the mandates, all throughout the vaccine, the shot drive. I refuse to call it a vaccine, but I still do it anyway sometimes. And also now you've got all of this rhetoric coming out of the Ukraine and Russia and Russia Gate and the Ukraine Gate and Trump and all of this stuff. What have we learned throughout all of this since 2016? Whatever the media is telling you, do the exact opposite. Believe the exact opposite. And more than likely, you're going to be right at least 75% of the time. It's just outright lies to generate more fear. So if you can counter, first off, the rhetoric and say, okay, this is nonsense, I'm going to flip it, right? Then you go, okay, so then this really isn't that bad. You've got a bunch of idiots that are trying to control something and get a lot of money out of this fear. So there goes your fear. The next object that you, or obstacle that you have to face, is the complexity of what's going on. And it's no longer fear. It's just, how do I navigate this? What processes do I have to follow, or what policies do I have to enact, or what policies do I have to sign my name off on? You know, if you, the example that's coming to my head is working for a company and needing to get an exemption for a mandate. How do I navigate this? It's very confusing. But guess what? You've got possibly the most intelligent search engine available to you, and that is Google or social media. So you can navigate all of these complex issues and complex policies. So now it's no longer fear, it's just intimidation by how complex these things are. And trust me, if you can raise a kid, or if you can work at a large company, then you can face these policy obstacles and you can navigate whatever it is they're trying to throw at you. And once you are based in logic, and once you can start to see how all of this works, there really is no fear. Another good person to read is Marcus Aurelius, and basically his philosophy of Stoicism. So when you're introduced to some kind of fear-based rhetoric, or some kind of event that causes a lot of emotional charge, like a breakup or a divorce or something like that, the worst thing that you can do is to actually react through emotion. The best thing you can do is to take a step back, if you can. Sometimes you can't, but if you can, and look at the information without emotion. And that is a way to sit there and take everything as it comes, break it down into logical steps, and face the obstacle with emotional charge, and face that obstacle in a more measured, excuse me, trying to hold back a cough again, in a more measured pace. So that you just don't go, you know what, F you, I hope you drive into a bridge abutment and die. You don't want to say that kind of thing. But you want to break down the event logically. And you don't want to react to it out of emotion. You want to react to it at a measured pace with a logical approach to it. I mean, it's a lot more than that. But that's the basic gist of what Marcus Aurelius is saying. And so ultimately that becomes, you can't control what other people do, but you can control what you do, right? So you can choose to not react out of fear. You can choose to not react out of emotion. And so you've got to have the brain take over the heart, right? Your actions, though, should come from the heart and not from the brain. So do you understand how that works? You're looking at a situation. There's a lot of emotion here. There's a lot of fear there. Your brain has to take that fear and emotion out of it and just look at the facts. And then your approach should come from an altruistic heart center space where you go, okay, what's the best thing for me and what's the best thing for my family? And how do we really navigate that, right? So what is the ultimate goal? That goal should come from your heart. How you get there has to come from your brain, right? So I want this positive event to occur out of this emotional situation. Your brain is going to allow you to take those next steps in a logical path, in an emotionless path, so that you can get to where you need to go. That's how you really have to look at these huge political situations that are occurring right now. And they're going to continue to occur until 2030. You now even are starting to get rhetoric out there that say disclosure is going to come out, whether the governments like it or not, by 2027. That's the year that everyone is starting to throw out there. And that, if that's true, that, I mean, that makes a lot of sense, because then you now know why there is this sudden push for inoculations, digital ID, cashless currency, because they need a control system. They need to control the stock, right? Because if disclosure happens in the way that it should happen, right? Now I'm talking about aliens or beings coming down, quote unquote, and saying, guess what, humanity, you're not in the spot that you think you're in. You know, you're a lot more divine than what you're being led to believe. Then these governments lose complete control. So what do they need? They need absolute control to try and counter that. Because otherwise, you realize how fantastic you are, and you realize that this isn't the only go-around for you. There is a lot of yous out there, now we're getting metaphysical, that can really, honestly change the world. Okay, 20 minutes. Oh, whew, wow, wow. Not a lot of news, maybe a lot of advice from old Chris Michaels, the old life coach coming out. But I will be back for one more podcast. I'm going to get into Saturnalia and a little bit from the Gospel of Judas and some similarities and why Christmas is a fantastic holiday no matter what people try to tell you. So as always, like me, find me, share me, so on and so forth on the social media platforms. The Last Call Caravan, and everywhere else is The Last Call Podcast with the aforementioned Chris Michaels.